Sam, thank you for filling in this morning. I wanted to tell you that Dwayne Hagemeyer was scheduled lead singing this morning and called and could not be here, and we had already put the songs on the PowerPoint. And by the way, I don't think Adam likes his PowerPoint. I was going to say we were singing about wonderful love. I think that's something Adam knows nothing about. But anyway... Actually, he had asked me to next week to put up one of those little yellow smiley faces from Walmart. I told him I didn't know that I could do that. But anyway, Dwayne was supposed to be leading the singing this morning and could not be here. And so Sam stepped in. And it's kind of difficult sometimes when someone has already selected those songs and you really might not have worked on them or certainly didn't have his pitch pipe this morning, he said. But he did a great job. And Sam, we appreciate it very, very much. And leading us in these hymns of praise. We're thankful for all of you that have come. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we hope that you'll come again and join us whenever you possibly can in our time of worship here at Crockett Road. This coming Tuesday is what we traditionally call Valentine's Day. I hope that all of you have made an effort to get your mate a Valentine card. And, you know, we don't really celebrate Valentine as a religious holiday, but we just celebrate it as a time when people can express their love one to another. And it's so important that we do that. I heard about a little boy one time. Well, actually, the story is that after several years of using the same perfume, a woman decided to try something different and settled on a light citrusy fragrance. Actually, that's what they got. Said the next day, I was surprised when it was my little boy, not my husband, who first noticed the change. And as he put his arms around me, he declared, "Wow, Mom, you smell just like Fruit Loops." Well, I hope that you're making that effort to get your mate or your mom a Valentine card. I want to talk to you this morning about this subject of love. Love one another. Jesus taught that in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, through the 5th chapter and verse 5. Through the Holy Spirit, these words were given unto the apostle. And he tells us the true meaning of love. What is love? What is love? Well, love is something that blossoms every day. It ought to. It is something that grows and should be unfolding in our lives every day. But you know, I'm afraid that in today's world, there is more hatred than there is love. There is more discord than there is unity. Because people are not growing in their love one for another. And if you read those words that we have here on the screen this morning, you will understand that love is so vital to our relationship with God and to one another. The message of love is not always the same, however. It isn't. Sometimes it goes to a different tune. If I were to ask you this morning, what is love? How would you define love? You might define it as a feeling, and yet the Bible says that love, in reality, is an action verb. It is something that you do. And even though it is expressed verbally in ways that we just kind of talk to each other and say one to another very flippantly, "I love you," it is much, much more than echoing words. It is much, much more than saying it on a Valentine card. But we say it by the way that we live. But it's not always the same. Because people perceive and offer love in different ways. They do. There have been a lot of songs that have been written about the subject of love. More songs have been written about the subject of love than any other subject in all of the world. Our songbook, and if you were just to pick it up and make a casual perusal through the book, you would find we've been singing this morning some of those songs about love. But if you were to go through the songbook, you would find that there are many, many of those songs that have been written about the subject of love. Let me tell you why that's true, because love is what we are. Love is dear to our heart. We want people to love us, and we want to love other people. There are more novels that have been written about love, more movies that have been made, more television productions about this one subject of love. Whitney Houston died last night. You probably got the word if you've been watching the news. She sang a song that Dolly Parton actually recorded a number of years ago. It was called "I Will Always Love You." Became a number one classic in music. "I Will Always Love You." It's a very beautiful song. But it's a song about love. A song about love. But sometimes, as I said, people express it in different ways. I was reading the other day something on the internet I thought was pretty good. Rebecca, who is 8 years of age, made this statement. She said, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands have arthritis. Now, that's love. Christy, age 6, said, love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Nikki, age 6, said, if you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend that you hate. Elaine, age 5, said, love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. I hope y'all will remember that. Jessica, age 8, said, you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it, but if you mean it, you should say it a lot. You know why you ought to say it a lot? Is because people have a tendency to forget. They do. They forget. That's why you should say it. True love. What is true love? True love could be summed up in these acronyms here: trust, romance, understanding, excitement, listening, overcoming, valuable. Why, everything. Love. That's really true love, and that is what it is all about. You ever heard someone say about certain things, well, it's Greek to me? Well, believe it or not, the word love is a very interesting word in the original language in which the Bible was written. It's called the Greek language. And if you were to read Greek, you might say, and you may say that when you read the Bible, even in the King James Version, hey, this is Greek to me, I don't understand it. Well, there are actually 5 different words. I found 4, but I also found 5. For years, I thought there were 4. There are actually 5 words that describe love in its fullest sense. There is the word eros, which talks about that passionate, romantic love. You know what I'm talking about. When people see each other and they're overwhelmed with love. I heard about a woman one time who entered into a Häagen-Dazs store on a Kansas City plaza for an ice cream cone. After making her selection, she turned and found herself face to face with Paul Newman in a town who was filming that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. He smiled and said hello. Newman's blue eyes caused her knees to shake. She managed to pay for her ice cream cone and then left the shop. Her heart was pounding, overwhelmed. And when she gained composure, she realized she didn't have her snack. She started back to the store to get it, and she met Newman at the door. He asked her, he says, ma'am, are you looking for your ice cream? She nodded, unable to speak. And he said, you must have put it in your purse with your change. Sometimes people are overly passionate. Well, that's what eros love is. It's where you get the word erotic. But then there also is that word phileo, which we get the word Philadelphia. And that is a love that friends have one for another. It is a loyalty to family. And then there's another love called storge. And that is the love that a parent would have for a child. And then there is the word thelema, which actually refers to loving something, that is, some kind of object. And then there is that love that God has for us and the kind of love that we ought to have one for another, and that love is called agape. You've heard of it before. But it is the kind of love that is illustrated by self-sacrificing of ourselves for other people. And that is the kind of love, as I've said, that we ought to have one for each other. And just as there are several words in the Greek language for the word love, there are a number of words in the Hebrew language in which the Old Testament was written for the word love. And by the way, the reason we mention the Hebrew language is because Jesus, you remember, when asked about the greatest commandment, made this statement. It is written, and it was written in the Old Testament, that the first command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. There are several words in the Hebrew language for love. One of them is the word ahave. Ahave. And that's very interesting. If you were talking about young love or love in middle age or even older love or older couples, that's what you're talking about. Ahave. I dare you to go down to Walmart and walk in and say to someone, ahave you. You love them. And we ought to love one another. And let me share with you this morning three things that you need to know about love. Number one. Love ought to be our passion. Whether you're talking about the love that you have for the Lord, or whether you're talking about wedded love, that is the love that you have for your mate, or whether you're talking about the love that you have for your church family, or whether you're talking about the love that you have for your friends, love ought to be your passion in life. It ought to be. I'm afraid sometimes we love everything in the world but the right thing. We love our car, we love our automobile, we love all these inanimate objects, but we don't love the right things. Jesus said one time to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, you know what? He says, you go through all these sacrifices and you make all these long, pretentious prayers, but you have omitted the weightier things of the law, like love being one of them. I'm afraid sometimes in life people love their job, they love their pleasure, but do they love God with all of their heart? And do you love Jesus Christ? And do you love your mate as you ought to love her or him? Do you love the church as Jesus loved it and gave himself for it? And do you love your friends as Jesus taught you to love them? We should. There are four times in the Bible when God says that we are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And you can find them in the book of Deuteronomy 6, Matthew 22, 37, Luke chapter 10 and verse 37, or over in the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, that you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. That is, you giving God the very best of your life in everything. Do you realize that God can take everything in the world from you that you have with just one movement of his finger? God can take everything away from you except one thing, and that is your love. You have to give it to him. You have to give it to him. God can't take it. But you give God your love. In the third chapter of the book of John and verse 16, one of the most familiar passages of all is this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. Every day we ought to reflect upon that, and we ought to let our eye be focused upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our eyes are focused on many things in this life. It is often focused, as I said a moment ago, on the wrong things. Instead of being focused upon Christ, many times people are focused on self. The Bible says that we're to look on the things of others, not on the things of self. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, you would find that love is self-sacrificing. Jesus gave himself for you, and he expects us to give our life unto him. Now listen to what Christ said in the book of Matthew 5, verse 43 and following. He said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? He says, are not even the tax collectors doing that very thing? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than other people out there in the world? Do not even the pagans do that? He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. As your heavenly Father is perfect. And in the book of Romans 5, in verse 5, the Bible says, listen to it, and hope does not disappoint because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he hath given unto us. Now while this verse, verse 8, it shows us actually God's love, again, is an action word. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I like the book of John, the 13th chapter, verse 34 through 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So must you love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now I want you to think about this a minute. When Christ begins this statement, he has the ears of the scribes and the Pharisees. They're listening. They're listening to what he has to say. But you know, sometimes the news media is pretty good about taking the words that someone might say, maybe in an interview, and twisting them and turning them around, or maybe leaving off part of them where it doesn't say really what the man who was in the interview was trying to say. And they just misconstrue and they wrest those words and they do everything in the world. Now, probably when they heard Jesus speak, he said a new commandment. Aha! He's got a new commandment. He's forsaken the commandment of God. No. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, he says. So you must love one another. Now here's the reason for it. People often ask the question, you know, I wonder why God gives a command. I wonder why God told us to do that. It's like people often ask, well, why did God tell us to be baptized? Or why did God tell us to observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Or why did God tell us to sing? Why did he tell us to give? Why did he tell you to love? Here's the answer to it in verse 35. He said, by this all men, he said, will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The real test of whether we are disciples of Jesus Christ, listen to it, folks, and this is so important. It's not because we go through the mechanics of taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. Now, I know a lot of people say that. A lot of people say, well, we've got the sign outside that says Church of Christ. We sing without mechanical instruments on Sunday morning. We always use the right elements on the Lord's table, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And we always offer a contribution unto God. We must be the church. Did you know you could go through the mechanical, that part of it, and still not be the church of the living God? Jesus said, if we do not have love in our hearts one for another, then we're not his church. He said, hereby shall all the world know that you're my disciples. That is the identifying mark, folks. Listen to it. That you love one another. And you love him enough to keep his commandments. And we love one another to honor and prefer one another. Now that is what Christ has said. And in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 again and following, he said, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been, listen to this, born of God and knows God. And whosoever does not, listen, love does not know God, because God is love. He is love. In verse 9, he says in John chapter 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, he says, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. You know what he's saying? You know what he really is saying? He's saying, hey, if you have the love of God in you, people see God. That's the way they see God. They may not see God up in the clouds. They may not see God in any other way, but they will see God in you. That's what he's saying. You want people to see God in you? We often pray that. Father, may the world be able to see Christ living within me. You know how you do it? Put love in your heart. Put the love of God in your heart. For in verse 13, he says, we know that we live in him and he lives in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. It is true. It is true. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and following says that God is love. There is no more profound and emphatic statement in all of the Bible than those three words. God is love. And whosoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, he says. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. No fear in love. Isn't that what Paul would later write when he'd say that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of a sound mind. We are to love one another, and it ought to be our passion. But number two, it ought to be our priority. It ought to be first above all things. It should be. Jesus taught that loving God is the first commandment, and he taught the second is likened to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love is something that is seen and something that is demonstrated in your life. How can a man, John says, say he loves God and hates his brother? If you've not seen God, how can you say you love him and yet you see your brother and yet you have hatred and contempt for him? How can it be? John says it can't be. Can't happen. God is love, and whoever lives in God, God is in him. We love because he first loved us, according to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. Now, he says this is love for God, to obey his commands. Think about it. To obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even the victory of our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If people looked at your life this morning, would they see you as a Christian not by the way you live, but by the way you love? Would they? Or if they looked at your life, would they see bitterness and anger and hostility and frustration? What would they really see? What do they see? We ought to be a people who love one another, who stand by one another. And like I said, love is not, and I'm going to tell you something. Most of us gather on a Sunday morning and we'll walk out the door and we'll slap one another on the back, say, I love you, brother, I love you, sister, and you know, those kind of things. But sometimes our heart is so empty. Our heart is so empty. We should stand by those who have great need and those who are having difficulty with our love. You may remember the story about Jackie Robinson, who was the first black player to play Major League Baseball. There have been a lot of them that have come down the pike since then, but Jackie Robinson was the first. And while breaking baseball's color, I guess you could say the color barrier, he faced the jeering crowds at the stadium. And while playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. His own fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base humiliated while the fans up in the stand were jeering at him and making fun of him. It was then that shortstop, many of you may remember Pee Wee Reese, who came over and stood right next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd, and all the fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. You know what? We have all been there, haven't we? At times when we needed an arm around us, words of support, words of encouragement, love. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you keeping the commandments of God? Are you? Are you keeping the commandment to love? Let me tell you why it's so important. Because in the book of Revelation 22:14, the Bible says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." But last of all, there's another thing you need to know about love. Not only should it be your passion and your priority, loving God and others should be your purpose. Each step should move us closer to our goal. Each step should move us closer. But what is the key? The key is motivation. It is motivation. We all ought to be motivated. We all ought to be motivated by God's love for us. Because He loved us, the Bible says we ought to love one another. We all have goals. Did you know it? We do. We all have goals in life. If you were to look at them, it may be your health and fitness, and people talk about that a lot. It may be your relationship. It may be home and family. It may be your spirituality. Maybe. It could be your career. It could be your personal growth. But let me ask you a question. Do they all revolve around Jehovah God? Do they all revolve around God? That is the question. Matthew 6:33 says that we are to seek the kingdom of God first. We are. Well, what is the standard? What is the standard for love? It is demonstrated by the Father and our love for the Father, the love for our family, the love for friends, and yes, even the love that we ought to have for our enemies. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. By allowing the Bible to lead us through the choices that we make in life, we will grow in our love one for another. But we must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. You remember what John says, the man who is born of God is the man who loves. And we must be born of the water and of the Spirit, both of them. It is not enough just to be born of water or to be born of the Spirit, but we must be born of both, according to the words of Christ. That's what He said to Nicodemus, born of the water and of the Spirit, and God has provided the only way. And each person must make a choice. You can either stay in a sinful condition with the people of the world, or through Jesus Christ, you can move into a holy relationship with the Heavenly Father. But that is a choice that we all make. And the question I ask all of you this morning is this question. Will you give God your love? Your love. And give Him the key to your heart. You hold that key this morning. As I told you earlier, God can't take your love from you, but you can give it to Him. Will you give Him the key to your heart this morning? If you're not a Christian and you're not walking in the ways of God, you're not tracking in the steps of the Son of God, this morning, would you renounce your sin and give your hand to me and your heart to God and allow Him to open it and allow Him to perform heart surgery on you to change your way of thinking, to change you from being a person who does not love into one who does. I hope this morning that you love God that much and you will say unto Him, God, here I am. I'm willing to yield my life unto You, and I'm willing to follow Your path. Sometimes as those who have given God the key pick it up and take it again. And we go back into the world and we start hating and we start becoming much, much like the world instead of living and loving God. And if you're a Christian this morning and you realize very deeply within your soul and in your spirit that you're not giving God your heart, you're not giving Him your mind, your strength, your soul, your spirit. You're loving Him partially, but not totally. And I hope this morning that you'd be willing to acknowledge that to God and say, God, you know, I've been wrong. I've made so many mistakes. I've sinned before You. And I ask You now, in the face of all of those that are here this morning, to forgive me, to cleanse me once again, and make me whole. Is your heart right with God? Sam has selected our song of encouragement this morning, and if you're here and you feel the need to respond in a public way to the call of Jesus Christ, either to become a Christian and confess your faith, or as one who comes to ask for the prayers of this congregation, that you might be stronger, we ask you to do that while we stand and while we sing.